Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Today's program was brought to you by Fairway Market. Whether you are cooking for one or for a crowd, Fairway Market literally has everything you need for a fantastic meal. But if you don't feel like cooking, no worries. They cater. Check out fairwaymarket.com for more information, and be sure to check the new blog, On Our Plate, for weekly specials, health tips, and recipes.
Okay, everybody, it's time for a game. I'll sing my song, and you do just what the song says. Here we go. Rub your tummy just like this. Rub it all day long. Rub your tummy, rub it hard while we sing our song. Rub, 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 rub. Play and sing along.
Buongiorno, everybody. This is Alessandra. We have another episode of Growing Good. This is a peaceful parenting, all organic, all natural, all local program on Heritage Radio Network. And it's really something that can be applied to all you caretakers out there, be it you're an uncle, you're an aunt, you're a babysitter, you're a teacher in training, whatever you wish. This is a show for you. We have a great segment today and a great guest. Melissa McKay is in the studio. Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
Melissa owns and runs her own yoga center. It's local. And of course, our biggest belief here in Heritage is supporting local, wherever you may be. And she resides in Greenpoint, and her yoga company,
Kusala Yoga.
Kusala Yoga. Kusala is a word that means...
Like I said, it's not easy to explain, but uplifting, wholesome, good, positive. Okay. Yeah.
Well, she runs her own yoga center, and you can also get your own teacher certification there. And there's a big emphasis on meditation. So today's show is going to be about Buddhist beliefs in parenting and just loving yourself, and also some meditation that can be applied to parenting.
Yeah.
It's so wonderful. And we'll be letting you know more about retreats and guests that Melissa is going to be having at her business at the end of the segment. But let's just start with some of the beautiful things that you've been talking to me about. One of the things that you were going to share with us or enlighten us with is meditation and the birthing process.
Yeah. I mean, I am not a doula or a midwife, but I highly recommend using meditation practice for anybody that's going to face anything difficult in the birthing process.
Right. And we have a tradition on Growing Good to introduce your miracle. You are a mom and your child is 6 years old.
Yes.
What's his name?
Phoenix.
Yeah. And meditation is something that you used yourself during the birthing process.
Yeah.
Tell us about your experience, that's okay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, particularly mindfulness meditation, where one is just aware in the present moment, aware of whatever's happening in the present moment. So what tends to happen to people when they're giving birth is, you know, there's a lot of pain, there's contractions, but in between the contractions,
right,
there isn't pain in the body. But what the mind is doing is either still thinking about the past pain or anticipating what's coming next, fears
right.
arising. So it keeps the pain
going. That's so true.
And so if you can let go of that, and like what you would discover is that in between the contractions are
peace.
A lot.
Yeah.
And the body has these natural drugs, and it's actually euphoric. It actually is euphoric. And then not as much resistance is happening. Then the body can do its job a lot better, and it opens a lot quicker. Things go much more smoothly.
Wow.
You know, I would just meditate in between. I had been meditating for a lot of time. I had a lot of training before to be able to apply it.
Right.
Because you're facing a lot of pain and looking at it, as opposed to trying to cover it up or run from it, being with one moment of it at a time.
Right, or using that moment in between to be like, oh my God, it hurts so much. Yeah.
Exactly. And then you don't do that. And then in between you're like, wow, this is actually kind of great.
Yeah.
And then you get restored, and then you're able to face the next challenge.
And how many hours were you in labor for?
7, you know.
Oh, but that's a good one.
That's a good one.
I had a good one, too. I don't think I ever shared it with my audience. Really quick, I did 10 hours of labor. I did no drugs. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to do any drugs. Let's do this. And it felt amazing. But when it did get to the point that you were talking about, when the contractions got so close,
yeah,
I did not meditate
yeah.
in between that second. And I actually would vomit on myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Because...
But that's okay, too. And you can be aware of vomiting, you know. And then let
right,
that
but it
go,
got to a point that like I couldn't breathe. And then I'd be like, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. But had maybe I applied my yoga breathing... Yeah. In those seconds, it would have been better. So basically, I wanted a drug-free, and by the I did 10 hours, and when the contractions came so close that I lost control, like what you're saying, and it never occurred to me to apply my yoga, you know, like that I do to it or my breathing, which makes perfect sense to me now. It got so crazy that then I did ask for drugs, and I'm just being honest because yes. that's what this is about. And I was like, give me the drugs. But it was too late because I had fought so hard the first 10 hours.
So you had to go through it.
No, but then it was so amazing because when it got time to the pushing, and it's amazing because I did have a great birth. I had 15 hours of labor. That's pretty good. 10 hours that were amazing. 5 hours that were excruciating. But when it came time to push and I felt everything, those 40 minutes were so worth it
yeah.
to just feel everything in it, and it felt so good.
But you know, it's the birth process is one of the many things in life that we don't have any control over, and
yeah.
we have to surrender to whatever it is,
yeah.
and to even judge it as good or bad, it just always is going to be. So whether it's 7 hours and it was easier, or 4 days and you had a C-section,
yeah.
I think you know, mothers become really identified with that process, and there's a lot of blame on themselves. Like, you have to let go of
No, them. I loved it. I always tell, and it's, you know, it's horrible when I'm with someone and they're telling me some terrible experience, and then they're like, well, how was your experience? And I'm like, perfect. Because it was perfect. It was perfect. I felt like I was, like, you know, part of my own, like, Olympic game, and I won, and it was, like, awesome, and and I loved it.
I had the same thing, but they're all perfect. You know,
yeah,
they're all hopefully, perfect.
Hopefully, yeah. Universe willing.
Yeah.
So that's something for everybody. You're expecting moms out there that maybe you can start researching, or if you do have a doula, or if you do have a yoga center near you, or even there's lots of amazing. YouTube has become this amazing thing. You can watch breathing exercises and meditations online. I've noticed that now after having Wally, there's actually like all these. Like 10-minute, 15-minute videos of like where you can do lamas in your own home. So that's, you know, if you're a little bit financially, or you're stuck at home, or you're working long hours, there's times to fix that in. So that's one great tip, is applying meditation to the birthing process. I love that.
Yeah.
The next thing that I was going to ask Melissa was, you said that you you're a Buddhist.
Yes.
And you have learned a lot through becoming a Buddhist, and that you had there's a lot of Buddhist beliefs directed on parenting.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. I mean, the total of practice of the complete... one of the basic teachings of Buddhism mm-hmm. is that in this life there's stress, and that in this life there's a lot of suffering that we have to go through, that we do go through, but that the cause of that suffering is our attachments.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a difficult word actually to conceptualize, because there's attachment parenting, which is a wonderful, you know, it's not that same word. It's not pointing to the same thing, this mm-hmm. concept. It's pointing to the tendency in our hearts to want to grip onto experiences that we can't hold on to, you know. So all our hearts want to hold on to all of the beautiful and pleasant experiences in life and not experience any difficulties. And it's not possible.
Right.
And where this becomes most difficult is with our children,
yeah.
is with our kids, because we could even want for ourselves to be able to experience difficulties, but we don't want our children to.
Right.
And it's hard. And it doesn't mean that love doesn't can be there as a parent if you don't have attachment. In fact, attachment is not... an open-hearted love. It's gripping, and you can feel it in yourself. You know, if you ever look at your child and
yeah.
and think, I love him so much it hurts.
Yeah.
The hurting part of that love is the attachment to it, because somewhere in our subconscious we know that this world is brutal sometimes.
Yeah.
that there's challenges that he'll have to face, they'll have to face. And we don't want them to.
I know.
And that's the part that hurts. But there is a way, they call it metta, the kind of love that's open to the totality of experiences of this life, but that still wishes for their well-being, for their growth, for their peace of mind and of heart, for a fulfilling life without attaching to the fact that they will go through challenges, illnesses, sicknesses, you know, times when they're not approved of by their friends, or it's the most difficult thing. Huh?
So basically, they're saying that to love is to love all of it. So
you have to love
the bad stuff. It is really hard. And this does go to peaceful parenting because, you know, we're so hard on ourselves.
Exactly.
I'm so hard on myself.
Me too.
This is what I love about my show. I'm not going to cry today. But this is what I love about my show.
I want you to cry.
It makes me learn so much more from beautiful guests like you. And it's like, I am so hard on myself and I'm doing a great job.
Yeah, exactly.
And I need to remind myself that I am doing the best job.
Well, I think that's the second piece to that. And that, you know, life is chaotic and that there's growth. The beautiful Nietzsche quote I heard this week, that he said something like, I tell you that there must be chaos in order to give birth to a dancing star. And so even the chaos that we're experiencing, or I'm experiencing for sure with my son, that there, you know, wisdom is going to develop, love is going to develop if we keep ourselves inclined towards consciousness, towards awareness, you know, and towards being energetic as you are, being with your son. And the process might, you know, have to be chaotic. There might have to be a churning of difficulty, you know, but we can give birth to a dancing star from the chaos.
And it's true because it's like, your children, they might be having, to them, the chaos is you took something away from them that they is dangerous for them to play and they don't understand it. But to you that day, your chaos is, I don't have rent tomorrow.
Yes.
And then those things are in under the same roof at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's when we have to apply metta.
Yeah, metta, exactly.
Metta?
Yeah, universal love and acceptance to what is.
That everything is going to be fine because you love your child and your child loves you. And even in sickness is what Melissa is saying, we have to conquer.
Yeah.
And that it's just a part of the world that we live in.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, we're going to go to our break now for our first song. Today's going to be Chrissy McVie because she is one hell of a strong lady that's been giving us beautiful, peaceful music. Both of the tracks I picked today are off of my favorite album, Tusk.
One of my favorite albums, too.
Yeah. Yay. We'll talk more about music when we come back and meditation. And Melissa's going to be giving us a little exercise for us all. This is Over My Head. Wasting all of my time. Welcome back to Growing Good, and a beautiful show today about Buddhist beliefs, meditation, acceptance, loving yourself. We have expert to me, because anybody that knows more than me is an expert. Melissa McKay in the studio. She is the owner and co-founder of Kusala Yoga in Greenpoint. And not only do they do teacher training, and they're local, and it's just a do-it-yourself spirited place, they have meditation Monday nights and Sunday nights.
Yes.
And that's something that I'm really interested in as a parent and applying to my day. And I think that it would promote peaceful parenting. And I wanted to ask you, about the importance of meditation and taking the time and how it affects to peaceful parenting, or what you believe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, doing it is good. It's hard for me to know. I've been immersed in it in a meditation practice from far before I was a parent. It's hard to know how much it affects my parenting. I don't kind of look at it like that, but I sit every day. I sit twice a day sometimes.
You sit twice a day.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to meditate.
So, I mean, it's part of your son's life. He sees that. He knows that's something mommy's doing.
Yes. Yes. He knows the whole.
And how does he take that in?
Well, I don't know. He doesn't know any different.
He doesn't know any different.
No. And it's a lot in our culture, and it's not like when we were kids, It's not like that would be a weird thing. I mean, it's so in schools even, they have some yoga classes. There are a lot of organizations now that are trying to get more yoga and meditation in schools. So it's kind of a lot more normal for him.
But so you don't have to find like times where it's like he's sleeping or quiet. You just do your thing.
When I put him to sleep, I'll sit on the bed next to him and I'll meditate then as he's falling asleep.
That's a great tip, because I put my son to sleep every day, every night. And sometimes it takes 5 minutes. Sometimes it takes 20 minutes. And I'm sitting there with my light bulb on, and I'm stressing myself out with all my chores and things that I need to do. And that's a great tip, because I could be meditating then.
Yeah, I found he falls asleep sooner too, because I get calm, and then they feel our energy so much, of course. So,
well, Melissa is so amazing that at the end of the segment, she's going to give us a meditation ritual that we can take home for ourselves. But right now, I'd love to talk about... Melissa organizes retreats and the importance of retreats, whether you're going to go to Melissa's, the one that she's organizing, or, you can find them online. It's something that I would definitely love to, bring to my life, especially living in the city, just getting out, turning that volume down, and the essentials up within myself. And you have an amazing retreat coming up.
Yeah. Upstate in this, sweet, quaint, old farmhouse kind of hotel.
That's amazing. And you were saying your son is going to come with you.
He will. Yeah, he will. I'll have somebody to watch him.
That's so great. Yeah. And so it's just two nights and 3 days of
yoga and meditation. And meditation, exactly.
Yeah.
In the Berkshires, under the star.
And you were talking about some speakers that are coming your way that you really are proud of.
Oh, yeah. We have some, I'm really excited right now, well-known authors in the Buddhist world and meditation teachers. Sharon Salzberg is one. She just recently published a book called Real Happiness. And Robert Thurman, do you know him? He's one of the translators for the Dalai Lama.
And oh, really?
Yeah, father to Uma Thurman is one of the...
he's Uma Thurman's father.
He's Uma Thurman's father.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
He's going to be your place.
Yeah.
And what date is that?
We don't have a date. That's
but
in the spring.
Confirmed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's in the spring. Sharon Salzberg's in June. Noah Levine wrote the book Dharma Punks. I don't know if you know
that. Yeah, I do know that one. That's a big one. I haven't read it, though.
Yeah. He's coming, too.
What is a great, beginner's book that you would... I mean, I read that the Buddha's, like, the Bible, what's it called? That's like the Tao of... No. Not the Tao of Poo, which is also something, it's the real, real beginning of it all. I mean, I just kind of jumped in there. No, like the one that the Dalai Lama wrote, where it's just like boom, 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 boom.
Maybe The Art of Happiness. I don't know.
That's it. The Art of Happiness. Yeah. But what's another book like for a parent like me who really wants to start to apply Buddhist beliefs to myself and my son and my home and the world around me? What's a great book that you would recommend?
I don't know of any specific parenting books.
All something. Once you're a parent, everything you read applies to,
Meditation instructional books, anything by Sharon Salzberg or Joseph Goldstein's another one that's really good for the application of meditation and learning how to do that, for sure. There's a really great story book on a mother who was able to achieve really high levels of enlightenment or whatever, but just had a terribly difficult life. Her name's Deepa Ma. She died in the 80s, but a great spiritual leader. For inspiration for mothers, that's a really great book.
And what's it called again?
Deepa Ma. Deepa Ma.
If just you, look up Deepa Ma.
Yeah, Deepa Ma, you would find it.
How do you spell that?
D-I-P-A and then Ma. M-A.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
That's good.
That's really, really great. Yeah. Well, before we get to the meditation, this is primarily a food network, and I was wondering, I mean, obviously, do you believe that diet has a lot to do with what you're immersed in?
Yeah.
What's like your, what's something that like you and your son, something that you would share with us that you have incorporated in your diet? I know it's hard because getting sometimes you're on the run.
On the run, and then getting the child to enjoy anything that's healthy is a tricky thing. You know,
because really? Wally enjoys, I'm lucky, Wally enjoys all the healthy things.
Yeah. He's lucky, yeah. I really like Ayurveda in terms of diet. I really enjoy when I'm able to be disciplined enough.
What is it?
Ayurveda is called the science of life, and it just approaches the body in elemental way. And, you know, they really ask you not to eat bread or cheese or
any
of those great things. But if you follow it, no white sugar, of course, or caffeine.
Well, this is a great tip. So this is like us, like a diet regimen that's been like...
Yeah, I'm not a specialist, but I...
But you can find out about it.
Yeah.
What's it called again?
Ayurveda.
And how do you spell that?
A-Y-U-R-V-E-D-A.
That's amazing for Growing Good audience. I'm going to look into that. Bread and cheese. Ouch, I'm Italian. That's going to be...
I know, it's hard. It's hard. I don't always do it when I've had. I found my moods. I found everything works better.
So the principle is that they teach you how to eat for your neurological system to work better?
I don't know if that's how they would conceptualize it, but something like that. It is overall functioning, and even the way you look ends up changing. The white of your eyes stay white. There's a great woman in Soho. Uh-huh. Should I recommend her?
Sure.
Yeah, Pratima is her name in Soho. Uh-huh. And she's lovely and she's good. She'll give a consultation and give you a diet and herbs and
Oh, wow. And it can be applied to your child.
Yeah, I mean, they'd probably give a different diet for a child, but yes. Yeah, you could ask.
Well, that's really great. You know, also for you mothers that are breastfeeding, because, you know, if you're having problems with a colicky baby or a baby with acid reflux, again, everything that you eat becomes your breast milk. So that's something I think that's really important. And I would love to do a future show about that. We talk about it at various times. We did a show about spices and we've talked about the things that go through your breast milk, but that is kind of the starting of your child's digestive system. And I do think that it has lots to do with future discipline and moods. That's just my belief. What you eat is what you are. So and most of the other shows are not at work too, which is the only reason why I kind of started doing this. So that would be really great to find out. I had no idea about I should know more about a system
look
like that.
Into it, yeah.
Yeah, like a pyramid. That's so great. Yeah. Well, we've got 5 minutes left, and I'm going to ask Melissa to give us a little meditation exercise, something that we can all start incorporating in ourselves at home. And there's so much to learn out there, and I really, really hope that I can find the time myself. I know it's hard for you parents, and it, just as it is hard for me to find the time to do things like this, but I think Melissa will agree, once you start, it's probably not as hard as you thought once you incorporate it.
Yeah, well, giving yourself just a little bit of time every day. If you do a minute, you'll probably sit for 5 minutes, and if you ask for 5 minutes, you'll probably sit for 10. Anybody would recommend that you start doing a little bit every day.
Right.
At the same time every day, so it's ritualistic, and then it grows.
Yeah, and it's like it's something that seems so hard to start, but then I'm going to do it. And it's just like everything else. The show is raising the bar on myself because I'm going to do it. And I've been talking about it for so long, and I've had, I'm a single mom, and I've had so many parents that tell me and friends, you would really benefit from meditation really benefit from a women's group, really benefit from, and it's so hard to find that time to leave the home, but this is something that you can do yourself in your home, in your bathroom, in the bathtub, or like Melissa was saying, when you're putting your child to sleep, maybe while you're cooking dinner, I don't know, but she's going to give us a little exercise.
Yeah, I'll lead through a metta meditation, and this is just learning the ability to cultivate that state of being in our minds, and I do this with my son every night. This meditation is done by starting by saying in your head phrases for yourself of well-being, phrases of well-being for yourself. So if you want to try this with your children, they're all open to it. They're beautiful that way. You can say the phrases out loud and then have them say them out loud too. So that's what we do together.
Wow.
So metta is this quality of heart of loving kindness is how it's translated sometimes, but it's a universal accepting love. A love doesn't change because of conditions changing. It doesn't
right.
change because people aren't being nice to us anymore. It stays, yeah? So it's always done by beginning with oneself, and that's where we always have to begin, because we have to be able to see ourselves happy and peaceful. So what the listeners can do is just bring an image of themselves into their mind, at ease, peaceful, and happy. And then we say phrases to ourselves. And the phrases aren't so important. Any well-wishing phrases. May I be safe and protected from harm.
And then your child repeats it.
Yeah. May I be healthy and strong of body. May I be happy and peaceful of mind. May my life be filled with joy. Yeah, and you can stay with that. Stay with yourself for a while. May I be safe and protected. May I be healthy and strong. May I be happy and peaceful. May my life be filled with ease and joy. And then it goes out to other people. My son and I will do his dad next. You know, somebody that you're close to, somebody that you love.
That's so nice of you.
Yeah. So the listeners can just pick anybody that's close to them and bring an image of somebody they love, a teacher, a benefactor in some way. May they too, just as I wish for myself to be happy, may they too be safe and protected from harm. May they be healthy and strong of body. May they be happy and peaceful of mind. May their lives be filled with ease and joy. And one can stay with that for a while with themselves.
The different people.
Yeah, stay with the different people and keep repeating the phrases, repeating the phrases. For my son, we just move on, you know. We take about 5 or 10 minutes to do it. The next group you can go to are people that are neutral, what they call neutral in your life. So like the baker or the mailman or somebody that you don't have a strong opinion one way about or another. And then think about them and connect with that truth that we all wish to be happy and peaceful, but that's what we're all going for. It doesn't look like it sometimes in some people, but they are too. So may they too be safe and protected from harm. May they be healthy and strong of body. May they be happy and peaceful of mind. May their lives be filled with joy.
Thank you, Melissa. And, you know, on a personal note, I can't wait to apply this to my life yeah. with my son, Wally. As I was telling you a little bit before, you know, you have these great days and you make the play dates, you make the classes, and you do everything to orchestrate a day, and then maybe right when it's time to go to sleep and, you know, you're tired and you get some bills in the mail or you get some bad news of some sorts, and it's just a shame to throw that beautiful day away. And this is an amazing day, way to end the day, and teaching your children compassion for others, even the neutrals.
Yes, yeah. And then you go on to the enemy, the difficult people in your life. So that's important too. And then after that would be all beings everywhere.
And then Mother Earth.
And Mother Earth, for sure. For sure.
Melissa, thank you so much. That's all the time that we had. And I've Loved having you here. Everybody support your local businesses. Love each other and love yourself. Namaste to
Namaste.
You today
Thank
from
you,
Growing
Allison.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.